when we first started, we opened the door, and then within maybe 3 months, we got shut down.
Dun dun dun.
Uh-oh.
But like properly shut down.
The police came.
No. Tape over the door.
Everybody out.
You know, like no. It was. I mean, it kind of felt like it was a crime scene. I mean, it was crazy.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today. And maybe you noticed something new when you hit play on this episode. We do have a new intro with some fun new music, and it's part of the refresh that we're working on behind the scenes over here that I mentioned in recent episodes will be happening. So yeah, we're moving forward. It's a new year, new opportunities, new sounds. So happy new year to you wherever you are. And again, thanks for being here. I have one of those fun travel stories for you today that resulted in me inviting some people I met while I was traveling onto the show to share their story. Earlier in 2024, I was in Europe for 6 weeks. And during that time, I spent a few days in Girona, Spain, which is up in northeastern Spain on the Costa Brava. And while I was there, my friends and I happened upon a little cafe that immediately impressed us. It's one of those places where you walk in and you almost don't know where to look because it's so cool. And I don't know about you, but I love ambiance in a place. It is absolutely make or break for me. So not only was this place just beautiful and welcoming, but the food and coffee were delicious. And it turns out that the owners, Amber and Christian, are originally from Canada. And of course, we got to chatting with Amber about their story. And ultimately, it led me to inviting them to come talk about it on the show with us. So we get to meet Amber and Christian today to find out more about how they were able to move to Spain and start a cafe and have been living there now for 16 years. I have an opportunity for you to join me in real life for some real travel. Here's the latest Jump Adventures update. We are going to Greece for a bike and boat island hopping adventure this May 9th to 16th, 2025, and we still have space left. Check out jumpadventures.com to learn more and book now. We're going to have a yacht all to ourselves with ensuite cabins on board, so you get to sleep in the same bed every night as we start in Athens and make our way west toward the island of Corfu. You'll have your own bike for the week, e-bike if you want one, for cycling the islands as we go, in between meals crafted by our private chef on board, and all the relaxing you want to do on the top deck under the Mediterranean sun. These bike and boat adventures are our most carefree and relaxed trips. All you have to do is say yes and show up, and there's still space. Head over to jumpadventures.com to grab your spot now, and we'll see you there. They're actually already here on the line with me. So Amber and Christian, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to Jump Podcast.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. So why don't you guys take a few minutes to, I mean, we're all just kind of like, who are these people? You know, how did they end up? How did this end up happening? So let's start at the beginning, actually, and talk about maybe the beginning for you guys. I mean, how was it that you came together to eventually get to Europe? And where does the story start for you?
Well, we are a bit of a mixed bag of adventure, I will tell you that. And it starts off a while back. Christian and I have been together a really long time. We met when I was only 16 years old. Wow. And he was 21. So we had a 5-year age difference, which as you grow older, it's not that big of a deal. But when you're still in high school, bringing home a 21-year-old to meet your mother, it's a little bit more intense. But so we met when I was young. I was working, oddly enough, in a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And so he was coming in and he was my client. I would make him coffee and he would come in, find out my schedule in a non-creepy way. And that's how we first met. And he was in Vancouver as well because he was trying to be a professional cyclist. So that's kind of an interesting part in our story, that when we met, he was on his bike every day and working his dream was to be on the European world tour. So riding the best races in the world, mm-hmm. races that you might be familiar with, the Tour de France and all those. Mm-hmm. So he was riding every day and training with the goal to get a contract in Europe.
Yeah. And then, luckily enough, it kind of all came together and we moved over to Girona in 2008, when I signed my first sort of real professional contract. And at the time it was with an American team that had chosen Girona as its base to set up a team. So all the non-European riders on the team were encouraged to live in Girona just for simplicity, and so the team could help organize all the logistics and everything that goes into, you know, being a professional athlete and yada yada. So we moved over in 2008, spent a great career riding many amazing races, fortunate enough to be able to do the Tour de France, which is like a real highlight for myself and us and, you know, any sort of athlete. Yeah.
That's amazing. I didn't know that you were on the Tour de France. That's amazing.
But then he sort of, you know, living in Europe, especially at the time, it wasn't super easy. Now, Girona is a very developed city with a much more international feel. Back then, when we first went, it was the sleepiest little town and literally nothing was happening. You know, there was not really, bar this group of 10, 12 athletes, there was not anything else really going on. Which meant for us and Amber especially, it was quite a, I'm not going to say boring potentially, but for someone who is a very ambitious person, I mean, Amber was always working when she was young and really enjoyed that. It was kind of looking after me was a job, but over time she was looking for something else. So we kind of gone back and forth and we're trying to figure out if maybe she would go back to Vancouver for a bit and we kind of do long distance while I was still living in Europe. And then finally we decided that, you know, we both had this sort of love for, let's say, cafe or hospitality, myself more on the coffee side and Amber more on the hospitality side. So we decided, why don't we open a cafe in Girona?
Yeah, it had gotten to a point. It had gotten to a point kind of in our lives where, you know, he could have continued cycling for another 10 years. And at that point, he had already been cycling, you know, close to 10. So I just thought, okay, how much longer can I do this? As much as I love being like full-time domestic household engineer, I feel there has to be a little bit more in terms of what we do, what I do.
Sure. Were you guys already married at this point?
Yes.
So met at 16, got engaged at 18, moved to Europe, and then got married at 20. And we've now been married close to 15 years.
Okay.
Yes, we were just married when we fully moved over.
Yeah. We were just
when
babies.
You first moved. Just little babies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what a neat opportunity. So did you being on the team and then you two being married, that must have made the visa process easier, right? You had a reason to be there. What did that part look like for you?
Actually, for us, it was interesting. I was born in Canada, but both my parents are German. So they immigrated into Canada in the 70s. So I actually have a dual citizenship. So I have a German passport, made going to Europe obviously
so
much
easy.
Easier. And then, because we were married, for Amber to get her residency was a simpler process. Still not easy, mm-hmm. but it was simpler. That's how we kind of settled down.
And always Girona, right?
Always Girona.
Wow. So have you actually lived there longer than, I guess, yeah. It's like, that's your home. You've lived there longer than you lived anywhere else? Or what does that look like right now?
Yeah, I mean, we've traveled a lot, especially with Christian being, you know, a cyclist. He's always doing races everywhere you can imagine in the world. Sometimes I would go with him. Sometimes when he was gone, I would travel my own just here in Europe. We have a budget airline called Ryanair, mm-hmm. and you can get a flight from Girona Airport to Venice for like 12 euros. It's crazy. So if he would be doing a grand tour, he'd be gone for 3 weeks to a month. And so I would just look on the Ryanair website and, okay, where can we go? And so with him being gone, with him traveling, with me traveling, we saw a lot of places. But every time we would come back to Girona, we just realized that it continued to check every single box more than any other place we had been. And every time we came back, there was nothing we felt that we were missing. There's nothing that we felt another place could do better. And once we kind of got that little itch of, well, if we opened a cafe, then it really would be perfect, because the only thing in our opinion that Girona was missing was a specialty coffee shop. And so we thought, well, if we just put that little 1% in, oh, Girona would be perfect.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's kind of how it all came together.
I love how this is coming together. May I ask, before we get into that part, what were some of those boxes that Girona ticks for you? Because it's a beautiful town. It is so cool. And so I'm just wondering, like, what is about Girona for you that does it?
Well, we can do a rapid fire. I'll say one thing and then you say one thing, okay? Weather. Amazing weather. So sunny.
The mountains are close by. Pyrenees.
Yeah.
You have an amazing coastline. Like you said, the Costa Brava. Within 30 to 40 minutes, you're on the beach, sun in your buns.
High-speed train in Girona, to Barcelona, less than 40 minutes to get to Barcelona. And Barcelona Airport is probably one of the best airports in Europe for direct flights to other places in Europe.
Then it's a very economically priced place. So especially being from Vancouver, like the rent here was extremely affordable. Your everyday groceries, everything like that, it's very well priced compared to where we were from.
I mean, for me, the sports, like the training for cycling and now running and all that sort of stuff, skiing, is just perfect. I mean, it's the most amazing place to be able to do sports.
And the food, let me tell you about the food. It's so you have the whole Mediterranean kind of food palette, but then because you're so close to France, you get a lot of kind of influence there. And then of course you're just on top from like Morocco, so you get some influence there. And then I'm sure you know we have the best restaurant in the world is just 5 minutes outside of Girona. It's called El Celler de Can Roca, and they've been ranked number one restaurant in the world
maybe 3 or 4 times they were number one in the world.
So just in our backyard, you can go and eat at the best restaurant in the world. And then Girona and kind of Barcelona has so many Michelin guide restaurants, a lot of like different fusion spots. And so anything you need, it's just here. And if it's not right here, it's like an hour away. Yeah. It's not so bad.
You're really selling it.
Really, really. It's like now the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
And like Christian was saying, when we first got here, it was a lot different. It was sleepy. It wasn't on the map. Not a lot of people investing, not a lot of people wanting to put in, you know, the money. But a few key things changed Girona significantly. One of them, like Christian said, was the high-speed train. So they finished construction on that 8 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah,
something like that.
2010 maybe.
And it's a 38-minute train from the center of Girona to the center of Barcelona. So that changed everything. People would come a lot more for day trips, and kind of if they had half a day even, it would be worth it. Then they filmed Game of Thrones in Girona. Yeah. Woo!
Oh,
that really changed everything. We still get people coming in like, oh, this is where they filmed that scene in season 7. And so it just slowly, and then like Christian said, with more sporting events and more professional athletes coming to live, we then got triathletes coming to base out of Girona. And so it just kind of compiled into this perfect storm of having everything.
Yeah, it's so cool. And now it has specialty coffee, thanks to you guys, right? Yeah. You must be proud of that. You must really be proud of that. And your place is so cool. Okay, so let's talk about that, because the coffee shop is, you call it a bike cafe?
Like a cycle cafe. And I don't know how we really came up with that. But I guess it's obviously with Christian being the professional cyclist, we thought, okay, let's have a few, it's part of our story. You know, the fact that he's a cyclist. And so we wanted to have a few details of cycling, but I myself don't cycle. We didn't want to bash the concept over the head to death of being only for cyclists.
Right.
We wanted it to be kind of welcoming for everyone, and not only tourists, but locals. And so we had a couple key things that made it cycle friendly, if you will. It's like we had a water bottle. We have a water bottle filling station, so you can get free water for your water bottles if you're riding. We have free bike locks. So if you're parking your bike outside, you can lock it up and keep the key. You know it's safe. And then just kind of that menu that allows for a nutritional fueling kind of way of eating. So if you're coming back from a ride, or if you're going on a ride, you're eating something healthy that makes you feel good. You know, so we had a couple little things like that, that I guess you would say made us a cycle friendly cafe.
Yeah. And I think also it's just mostly a part of our story, you know. Yeah. It's just like an extension of who we were. So it's kind of felt natural that we did that.
Do you have events there, or like something that draws in cyclists specifically at specific times, or is it just like a passing by sort of environment?
No, I think it's like developed a little bit of a reputation for amongst cyclists, but there's a lot of events in Girona, like mm-hmm. cycling events in Girona, that are very popular, that bring a lot of people to Girona. But I think it's just sort of, you know, our idea was never really... If the theme was cycling and the idea was cycling, our intention was never really to make a cycling cafe or a cafe for cyclists. You know, it was really about just expressing ourselves and who we were, and cycling was a part of that. And, you know, we realized that everybody should feel comfortable coming to our cafe, because everybody enjoys good coffee, everybody enjoys good food, you know. The decoration happens to be cycling themed. Now we've gone a little bit more antiques themed also.
That's me. I love antiques.
You know, whatever the decoration is, you know, at the core of it, I mean, it's really about welcoming everybody to our cafe.
I love that. You've done a really, really great job. The place is so beautiful. And I remember I asked you about how you found the place. So why don't you tell us again, like, how did you know that that was the spot? Because it's, and describe it a little bit, because it's like tucked away in a little plaza that's like behind, I don't know, it's in the back streets. And
yeah, I think that's one of my favorite parts about this whole story, is how we got the location. And so obviously, you know, our Spanish wasn't the best, but we meet with an agent, we kind of explain we're looking for a small place. Obviously, we didn't have a ton of money to put into this project. So we thought, you know, we're going to always start small. If it grows, that's great. And so we kind of told him what we were looking for. And he had this one place that he said, well, I'll show you it online, but you know, you're not really, it's not really a good one, but I'll show it to you. And we saw the photos and we loved it. So we said, yeah, let's go take a look. So he's walking us down this alleyway, far down, off the beaten track, down this alleyway. And it opens up into this little plaza with these beautiful stairs that go up towards the cathedral. Century year old, you know, stone steps, beautiful plaza. The sun is hitting the door. We open the door, and I don't know if there's any women listening to this podcast, but if you've ever gotten married and you've found your wedding dress, it's like the moment you see it, you just know. And we walked in, we opened the door, and the location was a 100-year-old carpenter's workshop. So when we opened the door, there were just all these little wood shavings on the floor, and you could still smell the cedar. And the light just hit inside, and it has all this amazing exposed stone on the side, the original floors. And we just saw it and we were like, holy guacamole, this is the spot. And from there, within 30 minutes, because he just let us walk around, within 30 minutes, Christian and I were ping-ponging ideas. Like, okay, we could put the bar here, the coffee machine over there, some seating here. And within half an hour, we knew this is the spot. And the agent just kept telling us, like, no, you're way too far. No one's going to come down here. Like, you need to go that way on the main road. And Christian and I just thought, like, this is the one. We don't want to be on the main road. We want to be a place that people seek out. And when they come down this alleyway and it opens up to this plaza, it's like they've reached the X on a treasure map of like, okay, yeah. like we did it, we've arrived. And so the space itself, really, we were so lucky to get such an authentic old space that the decoration and the architecture of the furniture came super easy because it was just, we just wanted to let the space shine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has like...
Again, like a natural extension. When we would travel, and we traveled quite a lot, you always got such a sense of satisfaction from finding a place that you felt like not everybody could find. Like stuff that was a bit off the beaten track, I suppose. But that feeling when you find that place and you know it's like more authentic and a little bit different, and it just, that sense of surprise is something that is really cool. And I think that's something that we always thought was really nice and we wanted to incorporate into what we were doing.
Definitely. I mean, I'm a big fan of off the beaten path, really. Like I always, I guess I want to say, I know that the best places are off the beaten path. You know, if you're on the main path with all the tourists, there's a reason that there's, you know, a whole bunch of tourists there. But as soon as you take those alleys and you start to see locals, you know, you're in the right spot, you know? Exactly. And I think I said earlier on this episode that we happened upon your cafe, but that's not actually true. We were Googling, like we were there for a few days. And so we were looking, I mean, sure, we'd walk around and, you know, we were looking up places to go, places to eat. The friends that I was with were big foodies. And so, and Michael, you actually met Michael, you talked to him a bit. He was the one that found your spot and he's like, we have to go here. This is, you know, it's out this, you know, weird way, but whatever, we're going. And so, that's how we found it. And I mean, they were already on, I think, coffee too, by the time I got there to meet them, and they ended up going back and talking to you more. And they got a little tour of your roastery and everything, which is just so neat. But yeah, it was definitely, we sought you out. We were one of those people that said, hey, this has got to be worth something. You guys have really great reviews. And yeah, off the beaten path at the end of a weird, dark, like tunnel alley is really cool.
That's the one, tunnel alley.
Exactly. And then, but the place itself too, when you walk in, I love how it's like split level, right? If I'm remembering correctly, you walk downstairs, or there's also a little upstairs, like mezzanine area with some tables. Exactly. And yeah. Yes. And then on the sides of the walls, there's like built-in stone archways that are almost like windows that don't go anywhere, like on the inside of the wall, right?
What an amazing memory you have. That's it. Exactly. You're painting the perfect visual.
It was, but I remember stuff like that. Like it really did stand out to me. It is a really cool spot. And like you have just the right amount of light coming in from outside to just kind of light up the space. And then you've done a really great job decorating. I mean, you were so proud of it too. I know we were talking about that with you while we were there. And but then that's really neat because as you were saying, going back to the whole point of this is expressing yourselves. This is something that you love to do. You've gotten into going antiquing now and bringing back little treasures that you find and just setting them up. And yeah, it's when you guys listening, when you guys go see this cafe, you'll understand and you'll get to meet Amber. And it's
a really cool experience. I'm usually there almost every day. It's one of those things where really what they say is true. Like if you love what you do, it doesn't feel like a job. Mm-hmm. And so every day, like I'm still like so honored to be there. I'm so lucky to be able to have my coffee there. I'm just so blessed to be able to like walk in and see it and enjoy what I do. And I love when it's really busy and when people like yourself come in and, oh, you know, I'm coming from here, I'm coming from there, or a friend recommended me from here. And it's just so cool how a tiny little coffee shop can connect so many people from the farthest little places in the world that everybody can come together for something so simple and so humble like a cup of coffee.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So I don't think we even said the name of the coffee shop yet. So I'm going to let you.
No one will ever know. It's a secret. You have to find it yourself. You only have one hint and it's down the tunnel alleyway.
Yeah. You have to go to Girona and just Google coffee shop and see if you can find it.
I like this. We should just roll with that.
So if someone does find themselves in Girona, how do they find you?
So
and what is it called?
Yes, the name of the cafe is called La Fabrica, which is I don't know, we ask each other all the time, like, how did we come up with that name or who came up with that name? We don't know. It's one of those things where it just, it is. And it's funny though, because La Fábrica in Spanish actually means like a factory, like the factory. And so it's cool because at the end of the day, you know, we're making coffee. So we always say, okay, like we're the coffee factory, you know, that makes sense. So it's, Girona is very small. So if you come to Girona, you just have to Google La Fábrica, and it's just 2 minutes from anywhere in the center. You just, it's a very beautiful walking street, like walking city. So you just find yourself on the main street, go off one little alleyway and boom, there we are waiting for you.
I remember actually when I was walking there, I was being led by the Google Maps or whatever, you know, and I was by myself and I got to a, what I thought was going to be like a passageway, like a tunnel, because there really is one. But so I was on the road, like just down from you, you know what I'm talking about. And I got to the spot on the map where there's supposed to be this passageway and there was a giant steel door. And I was like, oh, that's shut. I can't go this way. So I actually turned around and I went all the way around. Like I went back down that alley up to the next street and then down your alley. And as I'm walking, I see this tunnel on my left. I'm like, wait, did they open it? Like what just happened? And we exited that way. And if I had gone like three more steps, I would have seen the actual tunnel and I was thrown off by the closed steel door. But I loved that it was like a maze even to get to you guys. And yet, like you just said, you're really 2 minutes from anywhere. Like you're actually right there. You just have to go either down the alley or through the tunnel or down the stairs or whatever it is to get there. But
yeah, it's good. Being off the main drag really keeps away the riffraff, you know, like you really have to want to come to find us. Yeah. And I find those people when they do arrive, they're so happy. And, you know, we talked at the beginning, like, okay, our location, where do we want to be? And if you're on in Girona, the main drag is called La Rambla. And so if you're on La Rambla, it's like you have tourists who are tired. They want to sit down with a water. They want to use the bathroom. They don't care where they are, what they're having. They don't care if it's overpriced. They don't care if it's good or not. They're just, okay, I'm here. I'm tired. I'm sitting. Whereas like Christian was saying, being a little bit farther away, it makes the process to be an adventure and a journey to get to where you need to go. And so thank you for braving around and up and to the side to get there, because that's the goal, you know?
Absolutely. I love it. So going back to when you were finding the place and building that, was that hard for you as foreigners, or was it like, how did you do it? Because were you able to use your name or whatever, Christian, you know, like as your, how did that work? Is it hard to start a business in a foreign country?
It was, I mean, I think if you would probably speak to any entrepreneur, they would tell you the first business is incredibly difficult. It was not easy or smooth at all. We had a local guy who was helping us, especially with like the stuff at the city hall, licensing and these sorts of things, because in Girona, they speak Catalan. We're in Catalonia. So it's a much, much different language than Spanish. I mean, there's some crossover, but it mixes in maybe a bit of French and other things. And it's quite a difficult language for us to learn. So we had a local guy who was helping us with all that sort of stuff. But, you know, when we first started, we opened the door and then within maybe 3 months, we got shut down.
Dun, dun, dun.
Uh-oh.
But like properly shut down.
The police came.
No. Tape over the door.
Everybody out.
You know, like it was, I mean, it kind of felt like it was a crime scene. I mean, it was crazy. And we didn't really understand why. And then there was like some issues with the licensing that we didn't quite understand. So then we had to reapply. We had to do all this new construction, soundproofing, and all this crazy stuff. We had archaeologists in there. Like,
ooh, like Indiana Jones. Like we had to hire an archaeologist.
Checking to make sure how old the building was. So it was like protected and all. It was pretty hectic the first year, just, you know, opening, closing, feeling like you started over because we had to do so much work again.
Mm.
And opening again. But finally for us, the reopening actually ended up being better because we were granted a better license so we could actually do more. We could be open later. We could prepare food. We could do all sorts of stuff.
Oh, okay. Interesting how that was like a blessing in disguise sort of thing.
Yeah,
I mean, a different path for you.
Kind of like waiting for the blessing part, but
the universe works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, it was definitely a difficult journey in the beginning. But we were lucky. At the time, the mayor of Girona, he was quite... He was very pro-cycling. Like, he understood that, like, having professional teams and having these sorts of things based in Girona could really help the city in the future as sort of becoming this destination for cyclotourism.
Sure.
He was quite forward-thinking. And for him to see a couple of young people trying to do something different, trying to make Girona their home, he was very supportive of us. And I think kind of helped a few things move along in the beginning. So we were very grateful for that. But it was definitely not easy. And it builds a lot of character and it makes it more gratifying when you get there. But once we got onto the second, third, fourth businesses, it became a bit easier once you knew what you were in for. So it was,
Did you buy the building? Do you own that space?
Nope.
Okay.
We rent.
Yeah. Okay. Would you buy if you could?
You know, it's funny because with Christian having been in the job that he was, we never really settled down. Like, it was such a nomadic mentality because every year when he would get a contract, it would be a one-year contract. And so every year in September, it was like, where are we going to go next year? Are we going to stay in Europe? And obviously, looking back, your hindsight's 20/20. If we would have known, oh, we'll be here for the next 20 years and we'll open three businesses, I'm sure we would have done things differently. But that mentality, we didn't have to, okay, let's buy, let's settle down, because it could have been a snap of a fingers, we're back in Canada. And so now that we've been here so long, I imagine at some point it would be fun to try and live somewhere else. We really love Italy as well. And so, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years, I could see us maybe opening another La Fabrica and then moving somewhere else. And so it's for that reason. So we don't own anything. It's all rented. And the truth is, like, we just don't know what's down the road. It's kind of a beautiful existence because, okay, we own the businesses. We plan to own them for a while, but there's kind of that excitement of, well, who knows what could happen? And if you don't own anything, you're not super planted and rooted to have to be one place for your whole life.
We're very opportunistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. I love that. Corner. I can tell. And you worked so well together because you, Christian, you do the roasting, right? You handle like the coffee side of things, the sourcing, all of that. And then Amber, the cafe is your baby, really. So
Match made in heaven, the yin and the
it's
yang.
It's incredible.
The things that I'm really good at, he's not so good at. And the things that he's really good at, I'm very bad at. And so
there's not many
beautiful
I'm great at.
But. He's good at something. But it's good. It's like also being together so long, it's like I've learned what I have to be really good at, because if I'm not good at it, it's not going to get done. And him as well. Like, oh, she's not going to be doing that, so I'm going to have to learn how to do that. And so that's kind of a nice thing about growing in a business together, is you become strong where you thought maybe I didn't see it as one of my strong suits, and you just kind of grow and develop into those roles.
But I think
that's entrepreneurship for you.
Like early on, I think we learned sort of like having respect for each person's domain. I think where it can get kind of tricky is like if both people always have a really strong opinion on the same thing, where after a while we sort of developed like, okay, coffee is your thing. You get the coffee, you do your thing there, and you know what you say goes in that department. Obviously, we still discuss a lot of things. And then on the hospitality side, the cafe side, some of the food stuff, you know, it's sort of, I respect it's Amber's territory. And she can, you know, again, we'll discuss things, but she's got the final say no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yay.
Yeah. That sounds like a proper partnership. But yeah. Laying down the terms. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. And so you mentioned that you have a few businesses. I'm assuming you're talking about the roastery and the cafe. And what else are you doing?
Yeah. So the first one we opened was La Fabrica. And actually in March, we're going to have our 10-year anniversary. So we're going to have a big party.
Ooh. And then congrats.
Yeah, it's funny. I always tell Christian, like, 10 years in hospitality years is like 100 years in normal years. Yeah. So it's we'll definitely have to have a party. And then the second business we opened is Espresso Mafia. So like you were saying, that's where Christian roasts the coffee. That's where we get the big sacks of green beans, like 60 mm-hmm. kilos from all over the world. And that's where we physically roast it. We're the only in-town roaster. So that's unique. And then
that's right downtown.
Yeah.
That's like right in the middle of everything.
It's funny because now like we have our engineer and he says there is no way they would let that happen now. But because it was 10 years ago, again, Girona was empty. No one really cared. Yeah. They were like, oh, you want to put a roaster in? Sure. No problem. Now there's no way that would fly. No way, Jose.
It's cool too because I'm sure that piques the interest of passersby. And then you can say, yeah, our cafe is over here. You know, mm-hmm. it's just around the corner. Yeah. But that's like you get the smell. You get that big window, everybody can see it happening. That's super
cool. It's really interactive. And a lot of people don't know exactly how coffee is roasted. So when you see like the green beans going in there and then you open up the hatch and the brown beans come out, it is a very interactive kind of like field trip feel where we have a big glass window and we'll get little kids on the outside like, oh, look at that. And yeah, it's pretty unique. It's special to see that. So that was the second one that we opened. And then the third one that we opened was a bike shop. So obviously with Christian being in the cycling world and having so many years and connections, he knew that, okay, Girona's missing kind of a very nice high-end luxury bike experience. And so the third one that we opened was a bike shop called The Service Course. And then Christian decided he liked running. So he wanted to change careers completely from professional cycling to professional trail running. Yeah, because I guess he wanted a new challenge. So now he runs like just like he was riding the Tour de France in the cycling world. He's now doing the equivalent in the trail running world. So he now runs the most prestigious race in the world called the UTMB. And so with that came a fourth baby business, and that is called Overland Running Provisions. And that is kind of a trail running one-stop shop for everything you need when you're out on the trails, running shoes and mm-hmm. outfits and poles and gels and all those fancy things.
Yeah.
All the gears.
Yep. All the gear. I'm well versed in all of that. Where are these two shops?
So the Service Course is located just on the other side of the river, but maybe a 4-minute walk from La Fabrica. Espresso Mafia is a 2-minute walk from La Fabrica. And then the Overland Running Provisions is a 5-minute walk from La Fabrica. So it's all still very in the close. Old town. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
You get your Amazing. Exercise.
Look at you guys go.
Point A point right. B to point C. Yeah. It's like just get a coffee in between the way and you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love it. So how is your Spanish? Do you speak Spanish?
So good. It's not very good.
What about your Catalan?
Even worse.
Well, my Spanish is okay. I'm not going to go down. My Spanish is quite good.
But mine is not.
Yeah.
Catalan, not so much. Pretty much understand everything. But
speaking it is a bit
difficult for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the hugest language person. And I feel like anytime someone comes into the cafe, they want to speak English. And if they're like a Catalan or a Spanish person, they want to practice English. It's the perfect like free language exchange. So who am I to turn around and be like, oh, hold on. Sure. Let me bring out my very bad Spanish and try to. No. I know my weak spots and my strengths, and I am very happy to converse in English and get them a few words, and they're thrilled. They love coming in and like, one coffee, please, and it's great.
So cute. Yeah. That's adorable. I love it. And then do you employ locals?
Yes. Yeah. We have all together with the businesses, we have 25 employees, and it's nice because just completely personality based. Like when I do the hiring, I don't even bother really looking at a resume. I'm like, let's just sit down for 5 minutes. I just want to hear you talk for 5 minutes. And I like to think most of the time I'm a pretty good judge of character. And if somebody's enthusiastic and they, you know, because as well, there are lots of kind of typical Spanish bars or Spanish cafes in Girona. So if you're coming to one of ours, it's because you want already right off the bat something a little bit different, you know? And so I can tell right away who's just looking for a job or who's looking for a job with us, you know? And so it's nice. We have from all walks of life, all different countries, a lot of, like, obviously they all live in Girona, but we have people from all over the world who have ended up in Girona. A lot of, you know, like us, either like expats or, you know, we have people from like Turkey and the Ukraine and Uruguay and Colombia and
Argentina,
like all over the world, but all kind of with that same mentality of like just a good vibe and happy to work and happy, like, you know, attitude for gratitude. And so it's nice to kind of bring all those people together because it creates a really cool atmosphere in the team.
You're all about the mission. I love that. Like everything, it's easy to see that everything that you guys do comes back to the passion, like the original mission, just an expression of yourselves. And that there's some real power in that. I think that's probably why you're so successful. So congrats on all of that.
Thank you.
It's really a great story. It really is.
Yeah, it can be easy as time goes on to kind of get away from what you were trying to do. And I think if your end goal is the same at the end of it all as it was at the beginning. And for me, the reason why we opened is like, I just wanted to do something that I loved. I had two things that I said to Christian, like, if I can do something that I love and if we can break even, like, I didn't even want to make money. I was like, if I just don't lose that much money and I have something to do, then I'm really happy. And so I think if you care about something that much, it's like people can see that. And if it's not about the money, that's when you actually end up being able to do it well because people see it and then they support you and they pay for it. And so it's nice that it's something that now we don't have to worry about, but even more that I just constantly remember, like, why did you do this in the first place? What's the goal here? And every day try to just breathe that same passion into the team and like carry on. Like, we can be one of the best cafes in the world. And all my team's amazing, really. Like, all the people that, it's really such an honor when people come in and they work for you. That's such a crazy thing. They come in, they spend 40 hours of their week working for you. That is a huge honor. And I take that responsibility very seriously. And I just try to make sure, like, if they're happy, I'll be happy. If they're happy, my customers will be happy. If you have unhappy or underpaid or overworked, burnt out staff, how are you supposed to execute a vision of, you know, happy vibes and a good, you know, ambiance if everybody's burnt out or unhappy? That would never work. It seems so simple, but it's really, really important. And so it's nice now we're in kind of like the off season. We get a bit more time to breathe, a little bit more staff interaction, and it's just such a nice balance. If you come here in the summer, if you come here in the winter, it's two completely different cities, you know, in terms of how many people there are. So it's nice to have the balance and everybody's recovering and relaxing a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that's nice to see too.
I love it. I feel like it's contagious. The passion that you have for it, it's contagious. So I can see, and we felt it. What?
So much passion over here.
It's great though. I'm sure you have so many regulars that just go there all the time, every day. Like I could see that happening so easily.
Yeah. And again, it's like just so humbled and grateful because when you open the door, when you're sitting on the terrace, we have such a nice mix. Like, we're so lucky that we didn't like pigeonhole ourselves to like only cyclists or like only snobby hipsters or, you know, only tourists. And anytime, like, I look around, I'm just so happy because we'll have a mix of everything. We have students, we have expats, we have local cyclists, we have cyclists from Australia, we have young, old, babies, dogs, everything. And so it's really nice that, you know, from the very beginning, it's like everyone is welcome. We can't price things too high. Like, if you want to come and just have like an espresso and a croissant, it has to come in under €5. But then if you want like our luxurious fruit plate with the gold dust and the edible flowers, okay, that's there too. But we just wanted to have a little something for everyone. And then by that way, everyone can kind of be a part of what we're trying to do, even if it's just a little cup of coffee, you know?
Mm-hmm. Love it. I love that. How would you, I want to ask you about like the difference now that you're 10 years in, you're established in Girona, you've had 16 years there. Looking back to when you used to live in Vancouver, maybe share a few things, maybe like 2 to 3 things, your favorite things about how your life is different now than before.
You go first.
I go first. Okay. I'd say the best thing that we have is like a home, you know? And so it's like, now that we've really settled ourselves in Girona, like Vancouver is nice. It's a beautiful, beautiful city, but the way of life, the way how you conduct your routine somewhere like the European lifestyle, it is just so hard to beat. It's so hard to beat because everywhere you go, it's all about slowing down. It's all about taking your time with family, a good work-life balance. Whereas from my time in Vancouver, I remember like it's all just so much about the race. You know, it's about who can work more hours and get that promotion, to get that car, to get that house. And here it's like your goal is to have a nice work-life balance. That's the goal. It's not about material things or what you can buy. And so I'd say that's one of my favorite things about being here and how our life changed from, you know, I was working in a cafe over there, but how different it is to be in Europe and just have that chip change of like, slow down. Take things easy, you know? So that's one of my favorite things.
I would say not having to drive a car.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Pretty much you can walk everywhere. The only time we would really drive a car is if I wanted to go to the mountains or go to the coast. But living in Girona, you don't drive a car, which is super nice.
Yeah, no traffic, no rush hour, no commute. we wake up, we walk out. 10 minutes, we're at work. Yeah, that's a very nice thing. Everything is meant to be walkable. You know, like Europe in general, it's very, obviously Canada is so, so big. North America is so big. It's difficult to live anywhere without a big commute. And so that is one nice thing. It's like we've gotten very in touch kind of with a more slow, basic way of living, which I think in North America, even if you tried really, really hard, I think it's more difficult.
I would imagine. Absolutely, because it's not the same part of the culture. It's it's just a different culture.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like you guys have almost made your nucleus like a little bit smaller, so that it's just manageable and chill and full of passion and fun.
Yeah.
And then you still have access to the greater world so easily because Girona.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. It's pick and choose so lifestyle, nice. I guess.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, people approach us often, you know, you should open a La Fabrica blank. And they'll put all the different cities that you can imagine in Australia or in New Zealand or, you know, down in Boulder, Colorado, and if you opened a La Fabrica, it would be so cool, so crazy. And it's been 10 years, and I have to say, like, I really think it'll just be one, just the one and only, you know. And of course, we could franchise, we could open another one. And every once in a while, I sit myself down and I think, okay, because we've had some very close calls where I thought, okay, you know, let's open another one. And I sit myself down and I really have to ask myself, like, Amber, why are you doing this? Is it for the money? No. Because the truth is, like, we lived in a trailer when we first met. We've lived off of pennies. So even like with a tiny amount of money, we have more than we could ever need. We're very basic livers. So, okay, it's not about the money. Time. I'll lose time if I open more. I'm going to be more busy, more responsibility. Okay, like, would it be ego-driven? You know, I want to have more La Fabricas all around the world, like empire. Well, no, I don't want that. Well, okay, is it passion? And I think, well, everything I have with just one. Is anything going to get better if I have 10? Is anything going to get better if I have 50? Imagine 50 LaFabricas all around the world. For what? I don't think I'll be able to ever create another location more special than the one that I have. So it's like, instead of trying to build more, why not just really take care of what you have? Just maintain and water the garden within your vicinity and don't worry about everything else that you could potentially achieve. Yeah. So no more LaFabricas.
Well said. I'm like, I want to clap. I just want to clap. I'm like, mic drop. I don't know. I think we're done. Like that was amazing. Bark
and kind of interrupt.
That was
segment
so. Yeah, I know, right? It was so good though because it's so true, and I think that it applies to so much. Like you're obviously applying it to your life and your story and your business, but I know. As a listener of this conversation, and I think for the people who are listening to us now, we're all applying it to how does this apply to my life? You know, it's a reminder to think about your why. What are we doing this for? What is it? It's your ex, whatever it is. What are you doing it for? And why would you really want to take it to the next level or whatever it is? Like to look at that very closely and to pay attention to the value of it, the real value of it, and what it stands for. And I love what you guys stand for. I think I love your story. It's so inspiring. And I'm like really grateful that you were able to share all of that with us today. I think it's amazing.
It's a fun little story. So when it's all said and done, like as it is owning your own business, opening your own business, it's one of those like big, big life-changing character developing decisions. And I'm not sure there's many people out there who would say like, oh, you know, I regret opening my own business, because even if that business doesn't succeed, you learn so much about mm-hmm. yourself and you grow so much that if you are a positive kind of thinker, you can think, well, like that's one more step into down the road of what I will become or what I will achieve. And so if there was anyone ever on the fence about like, oh, you know, should I open my own business? It is 100% worth it. It's rewarding and it's huge on just discovering who you are and things that you didn't think you were good at or possible to achieve. So that's
even capable of. Yeah. Yeah. You just put yourself in a place to grow and expand, and you do that no matter what, no matter what the outcome is, you're growing and expanding and
whether
learning,
you like it or not, you're growing and expanding.
Yeah. And hopefully you like it. Hopefully you love it like you guys do. Yeah. So that's amazing. Okay. Well, I can't wait to see you guys again. I'm definitely going to come back to Girona and pop back in next time.
Well, we're having a 10-year party. If
in
you're
March.
Around in March, you should definitely come. It'll be a bang.
It's amazing. Congrats on 10 years.
Thank you.
I'm going to be back in Europe end of April, but that's not March. So
that's fine. We'll delay
that's
it.
All right.
We'll delay the party. Yeah. We'll have another party.
Okay. Okay. We'll have another party.
I'm always down.
Actually, you know what's fun? I'm going to be celebrating a 10 years in March. Is it March? April? March? April? April. Yeah. It'll actually be 11 years, but we missed it last year. So we're going to do a 10-year celebration for the podcast. So I get it. Like I know what it feels like to be in it for 10 years.
Well, congratulations to you too, miss.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. The time just flew by, but if you enjoy it, it's good years in the bank.
Exactly. I know. Okay. So until we meet again, where can people find you on Instagram or online, whatever?
Just follow your heart. Follow your nose. You'll smell us with the coffee. You'll see us down the alleyway. And if it's meant to be, you will just end up on our terrace drinking a good cup of coffee, you know? Just come to Girona and just...
Okay.
Yeah. Follow your spidey senses. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
okay.
The name's LaFabrica, so just that's the most important thing. We don't have,
what'd you say?
Like the name's LaFabrica, but we don't have like a TikTok mm-hmm. or we have an Instagram. Yeah. And it's funny because we don't have any, you know, I do all the social media of all of our businesses. And when we first opened, it was really important to us to like never pay for any kind of advertisement. I always thought it a bit of a cop-out, you know, to like, oh, pay to have my ad here, or like pay this influencer to kind of do a spiel on our cafe. And so it's nice because I know in my heart that all the little growth that we've had have been from word of mouth experiences or like honest, genuine reviews of people who we've just really tried to give a good experience to. And so that's really nice that it's just, it all comes down to an organic network. And that's how I want it to stay because I think that's,
I love it.
Money can't buy that, you know, that's just real hand on heart experiences. So that's really cool.
Well, you're absolutely right. I love that. Okay. Cool. Well, Amber and Christian, again, thank you so much for your time. Your story is super inspiring and I love how you guys just took the leap and went for it and have found such success in such a quaint little beautiful corner of Europe for your little cafe. And I just love what it stands for and how it brings your people, your chosen community together. And I wish you all the best with it going forward.
Thank you.
And I hope that you continue to love it for years to come. I hope
we'll check in another 10 years and we'll let you know.
Sounds amazing. Okay. Well, happy new year to you guys and stay safe. And I can't wait for our listeners to start going into your cafe and telling them that they heard you on the podcast.
Free coffee for them. If they, oh, we heard you on this podcast. Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell all my team. They'll all know.
Okay. You guys heard it here. All right. Thank you guys.